emotions? Are all emotions good for the Christian? No. So we concluded that there is some music that's not right for the Christian. That's what we concluded. Yes? Yes. We're all in agreement. Now let me just say this. What we're trying to do here is build a house. We're trying to build a music house. Christian music house. So after the 3 months, there'll be no question in your mind what we believe and why we believe it according to God's Word. But sometimes when you start, you have to dig the foundation, you have to get the brick and make it level. Those guys that worked on the building, you know that. And things got to be right with the concrete and all that. And that's what we're doing now. We're setting some stone. We're setting some concrete. We can't go any further until we agree on these foundational points. And one also we're going to have here tonight. And so after tonight, our foundation is kind of laid out. We'll let the cement dry for a couple weeks, and then we're going to start to build. And what is godly music? What does God say? It's not neutral. It's not my opinion. It's what God says. And you make a decision, do I go for this or don't I go for this? In myself, my person. Now, we learned that, last week we learned that music is a what? Starts with an E. Music is a what? It's an experience. Just like everything else you do on this earth, music is an experience. And we learn what about experiences? No one can really argue with. What? Pardon me? Okay, we learn that experience develops our character. It makes us who we are this day. Now, our life, we remember we talked about is filled with these experiences. And therefore, we conclude that what you are is partially due to the music you've listened to. Everybody agree? Okay. Now, tonight we're going to talk about, turn to Haggai. Turn to the book of Haggai. Brother Martin called me with this scripture last night, or the night before, I don't recall, but it's sticking in my mind. And I was going to spend a portion of this night talking about clean and unclean and polluted and poison and all that thing. Not much time on it, but there's so much. We have 30 or 35 minutes. I don't want to skim by it. I want every young person in this room to know something tonight about music. This is the last night we're going to talk about rock and roll music. I'm not going to give any samples of rock and roll music. You know what it is. You know what it does. But I figure it's a good time to take one night and talk about it. What does God say about it? Does God say rock and roll music is wrong? Can you point to a verse? That's what people say. Show me a verse that says rock and roll music is wrong. Well, I can't show you that in the Bible. It says rock and roll music is wrong. But I can show you some principle. Now look in the Haggai. You know, before we go there, let me just give you something to listen to. Now, talking about emotions, talking about experiences, talking about how we're moved by music. We're going to be moved by some music. That's what makes music class kind of fun. You bring a little music and you learn something at the same time. Now, bear with me just so I... Okay. Now, let's just imagine that we've come home from a long day's work. We're exhausted. We're tired. We just want to go home to our abode and rest in the shelter of our family. Have a peaceful night. So we'll put some music on. Help with that. Mother's going to have a little music playing when we come in the door, and it's going to be just lovely. Or let's say we've taught the kids all day long, and we've changed 101 diapers, and we've cleaned up messes, and all I want to do at the end of the day is put the kid to bed, sit down and relax, and listen to a little music. Something to calm my soul. Something to bring peace to my... Listen, 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to talk about the soul, the body, and the spirit, and how music affects each of those things. It's in the scriptures clear as day. Now listen, so here's what's playing now. As we're really seeking to rest and relax... Oh... read some of the psalms together as I can barely keep my eyes open. It's glorious. Right, brother? Who knows this piece here?
A couple of people know it. Very famous. Now, about, you don't want to keep it on too long, because the emotion's going to change in just a bit. Listen. Fast forward just a little bit. James wants us to play at his wedding.
3 weeks to fall asleep after listening to that. If I had my head down.
Oh.
That's powerful music right there. That's powerful. Now, that is to make my point, I guess, of the last 2 weeks' teachings. There's something about it, and we need to learn about it. Now, there are still critics in our midst. I've heard some rumblings about why take 13 weeks? Oh, it's important. It's very important. Now, let me say this. Tonight, I want to convince you about the difference between clean and unclean in the Bible. Now, we have this Haggai. I want you to see God in his teachings here in Haggai chapter 2, verse 11. We'll say verse 10. In the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? Shall it be holy? Shall it? And the priest answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. Now we have rock and roll music crazy all over this world and all over this church. Not this church, but God's church. And tonight, young people, I want you to understand why we don't have it in this place. I want you to understand it and understand it well. If I were you, just like I am me, and in the back of my Bible, I have a little thing here about clean and unclean, and I put it in there. So tonight, someone would say, What's wrong with that music? Isn't it the words that matter when you're worshiping the Lord? Well, the words do matter. However, not as much as the music. Watch. Just a couple things here. We'll look up a bunch of scripture. Okay. Impact musically rather than lyrically. Words absorbed after the music has made its mark. Our physical receptors, which we'll talk about in a few weeks. You know what? We hear with more than our ears. Scientific proven fact. We hear with more than our ears. Now, has anybody ever danced to words? Maybe somebody has. But I'll tell you what. Words are incidental. You dance to a beat. You dance to rhythm. And we will learn in great detail what the Bible says about harmony, melody, and rhythm. The three major parts of music. Harmony, melody, and rhythm. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now. Scriptures teach us that it's the rhythm, it's the beat that affects the flesh. It's the rhythm and the beat that affects the flesh. Not to get too far ahead of myself, but when I think about this lesson we're going to learn, it's so exciting to see it in plain black and white. Why is it that rock and roll permeates our churches? Why? You know why? Because it affects the flesh. And we are fleshly. We want it now in the way we want it. Immediately. So is it wonder that we pray, welcome the beat. Welcome the world's rhythm and beat into our services. That's another lesson 2 or 3 weeks down the road. Today, I want you to understand something. Words are timid things. Decibel and beat are bold things. We'll get into that as the weeks come by. But tonight, I want to talk about rock and roll music. And I want to challenge the young people, especially because the evil one is constantly at our doorstep with it. And even our doorstep at Old Paths with it is a constant struggle. The message of a medium. The medium of rock and roll music, rebellion, sensuality, anarchy, revolution, and nihilism. You know what nihilism is? Nihilism means this. I go against what I've been taught. I go against the moral things I've been taught. I go against the establishment. Annihilate that. It's nihilism. Revolution, anarchy, sensuality, and rebellion. Now, if anybody ever wants to listen to rock and roll music, you can't argue with it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. the rock and roll music, its association with these things, I have to say it's unclean. Now, the word unclean means this, not clean. That's heavy. Foul, dirty, filthy. Anybody have a question about unclean? It's foul, it's dirty, filthy. In the Jewish law, ceremonially impure, not cleansed by ritual practices. Again, this is the Webster's 1828 dictionary. Foul with sin, not in covenant with God. Lewd, chaste, adultery of the heart, consisting of inordinate and unclean affections. So my question to you, everybody in this room, is rock and roll music, or that that primarily appeals to the flesh, unclean, or clean? Well, I would challenge you to go into the store and look at the rock and roll music stars and really just ask yourself the question, is this music clean or unclean? Now turn to Exodus 11:7. This is why we're studying this now. Exodus 11:7. I don't know if I should begin today's lesson with the 1812 overture or end it. I don't want to send anybody home in a car crash, so I thought we'd go early with it. Genesis, Exodus 11:7. I want to put it in your mind and ask yourself a question. The things that are associated with rock and roll music, is it unclean? Exodus 11:7 says this, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptian and Israel." There is a difference. Last week we talked about the new man, new song. Why is the new man has everything else new but music? We have the world's music. Now we don't look at the same books, we don't look at the same movies, we don't go out with the same crowd, but we keep the same music to worship our Lord with. Ezekiel 22:26, please. And if someone would like to shout out, say something, you're welcome to it. I don't mean to, I'm going to give out some scripture for us to read. Maybe I should just do that. I've got a bunch here tonight. If I have a place in my Bible, I'd write those things down. Say that thing's unclean. Can anybody in their right mind argue that rock and roll music is unclean or represents unclean? I'm not sure. I don't think so. Ezekiel 22:26. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. They've put no difference. The priests have violated my law. They've not put a difference and said, this is wrong, this is right. This is holy, this is unholy. This is clean, this is unclean. They've not done that. God says they've profaned my holy things. I say to you that churches of America have profaned the holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they shown a difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Now, profane means irreverent to any sacred thing. Applied to persons, a man is profane when he takes the name of God in vain or treats sacred things with abuse or irreverence. Irreverence, proceeding from a contempt of sacred things or implying it as profane words or language. Profane swearing, not sacred, secular, relating to secular things as profane history, polluted, not pure, obscene, heathenish, not purified, not holy. Profane is used chiefly in Scripture in opposition to holy, or qualified ceremonially for sacred service. Now, let me give out some scripture here. Raise up your hand if you'd read some scripture for us here. Brother Bo, I want you to find 2 Chronicles 36:14. You want to write that down, 2 Chronicles 36:14. Brother Bob, Isaiah 48:11. Brother Mike Parkinson, Jeremiah 2:23. Brother Dave, Numbers 18:32. Brother Henry, Jeremiah 7:30. Brother Ted, Ezekiel 44:7. Brother Andy, Leviticus 7:19. Leviticus 10:10, Brother Mike. Okay. Brother Martin, Leviticus 11:47, Leviticus 13:59, Brother Morrissey. Let's start with that right there. And we'll just make a couple comments. If someone wants to comment on these verses, help yourself. Help yourself to it. Okay, whoever I gave it first to, go ahead and stand up and read it nice and clear if you can. This is why we're studying this. The scriptures teach us to make a difference between the clean and the unclean. My question, is rock and roll music unclean in the things that it represents? Okay. Transgress very, very much. Isaiah 48:11.
For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another.
Now listen. Listen, listen. Young people, listen. How can the name of God be polluted with the music of this world? You know what? God talks about filth. Is that filthy or what? He talks about pollution. Is that what that represents? Is that polluted or what? You listen enough of that and make your kids want to kill you. Make you want to have relationships you ought not to have before you're married. Plain and simple. And they want that. They want you to do that. You know what? You say, oh yeah, you're just a conservative preacher. No, I'm not. You know what? There's testimonial after testimonial. I wouldn't glorify those heathen by quoting what they say about what they're trying to do to your kid's mind. Now listen, we build a bridge into the church house with rock and roll music and with good intentions. Never let it be said. I know it's good intentions, but I think we're deceived. We build this bridge right into the church. And in comes the lost world, because our music is like the world's music. Oh, please come for the next 10 Wednesday nights and you will learn that is not God's plan. It's not my opinion. It's not my preference. That is the Bible, black and white. So, we build this bridge and then our kids take that same bridge, that rock and roll bridge back into the world. We say, where'd my kids go? You brought it in. They're just walking out the same road you brought all the lost souls in with. Now, Do we believe in soul winning? How many have gone soul winning in the last year? Raise your hand up. Well, sure we believe in soul winning. Street preaching, evangelizing, missions board. But I'll tell you something. It's not on Sunday morning to be like the world to win the world. That is black and white Bible. Now, did someone read Jeremiah 23, 2:23? Did someone read Jeremiah 2:23? Okay, go ahead, Mike. Nice and loud. How can you say you're not polluted? That's what Jeremiah is saying to the folks. How can you say that? How can you say that you're not polluted when you've brought in the music that people get all kinds of things to on? Oh, it's not. We're not polluted. We're winning souls to Christ and people are being saved. How can you say that? That's what Jeremiah is saying, I believe. Go ahead, Mike. Right. Wait a minute now. If rock and roll music isn't after Balaam, then I'm not sure what is. Young people, listen now. I'm not scolding you. I'm not trying to preach to you. I'm trying to reason with you. The Bible said last week, remember, prove all things. Prove all things. You prove to me otherwise. I've challenged everyone in this room. Prove to me otherwise. Okay. Jeremiah 18:32. Somebody? Numbers 18:32. I'm sorry, Michael. My fault.
And ye shall build, bear no sin by reason of it. When ye have deemed from it the best of it, neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die.
We take the blessed words of God, and I claim to you, we pollute them with the world's music. Music that appeals to the flesh. I say, come for 10 more weeks, and you'll have no doubt in your mind unless you want to reject the scriptures, and that's your business. Ezekiel 44:7. Anybody have Ezekiel 4? Okay, 10.
Ezekiel 44:7. In that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread, the fat, and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations.
I mean, just try to stick that in there. Stick that contemporary Christian rock right in that verse. And it's not hard to do. Leviticus 7:19. Anybody have Leviticus? Go ahead, Andy. Nice and loud, bud. All right, Leviticus 10:10. Okay. Young people, is there a difference between clean and unclean? Yes. Does the Bible tell us to make a difference between clean and unclean? We just read a numerous scripture. Yes. We're to make difference between clean and unclean. Now what? How do we make a difference? I say, let's look at the thing. Just look at the thing and listen to the thing. And how is it affecting your mind? I'll tell you, the battle is for the mind. Young people, please listen. I'm not the enemy. I'm trying to save your mind. The battle is for your mind. Make no doubt about it. And we'll study that in the weeks to come. That there is a raging battle for the youth's mind. What you listen to, remember we said? You become part of that. You become part of that music you listen to. There's something to it. We hear with more than our ears. Our bodies have these receptors, and we'll see that scientifically. Leviticus 11:47. Now there are beasts to eat, and there are beasts we ought not to eat. And we don't think that we ought to eat the beast of rock and roll music. Leviticus 13:59. Somebody had Leviticus. Mr. Morrissey? Okay, there's a principle here. The principle of pronouncing clean or unclean. So now you're playing rock and roll music to Amazing Grace. I ask you, take off the sound and say, is that clean or unclean? And I wouldn't violate the place with the garbage that we could listen to. And it would be no question in your mind. It evokes emotion. It makes you what you are. So... Leviticus 14:57 says to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. Teaching clean, teaching unclean. Leviticus 15:8. And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean. So the thing is, if an unclean, the one that has an issue, spits on the one that's clean, what happens to that clean? It becomes unclean, according to the scriptures. Listen, and if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. You cannot touch the unclean thing and walk away clean, the Bible says. And we'll see. Leviticus 20:25. Listen, ye shall therefore put difference, Pastor Camilleri, Pastor Folk, everybody else, do what you want. But in this place, ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the earth, which I have separated from you as unclean. I'm going to read that one more time. Listen carefully. Please have your attention. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I, God said, separated from you. I separated from you as unclean. All those things associated with rock and roll music, the immorality and the drunkenness and the profanity of it all, God has separated those things from us as His people. Now listen, in case you think you're an exception, there's always someone that thinks they're an exception to the book. I said there are none when God says there's none. Job 14 and 4 says this. This is a good question to ask somebody. Just ask them this question. Who can bring a clean thing out of a clean, out of an unclean? Now, you're talking with somebody who says, oh, Christian rock and roll is fine. CCM, contemporary Christian music, is fine. And we really get our service going. I mean, we get pumped up and we're shouting, we're screaming, people running around. And I'm all for all those things. And you know what? We have those things here occasionally. When God visits us in a special way, like a Sunday or so ago, at a powerful 45-minute song service, and have people smiling and laughing and shouting and carrying on. It was a wonderful time. But it was done through the Spirit of God. It was done through the soul of man. It had nothing to do with the flesh. Nothing. And that's what makes it so precious. That's what makes it so valuable. Every week we're going to pump up the music, pump it, pump it, pump it, pump in the beat and the rhythm, and pump it up. And, yay, man, praise God. Well, they do the same thing at ball games. They do the same thing at rock concerts. They do the same thing at picnics down at Hammond Beach. I know, I was part of all those things. Now, the young person might say, oh, I've never listened to rock and roll. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what you're so upset about. You know what? You don't have to be an expert at it. My son Paulie, I mean, when he was younger, we'd go into a restaurant, and it would just make his ears go crazy. And he'd have more boldness than I, and we'd get up and go right to the guy and say, hey, turn that garbage off. I can't hardly eat my food. You won't believe what rock and roll music does to people. You won't believe how it hurts your mind, and you cannot comprehend. It's a proven scientific fact, and we'll look at that. You can't believe what rock and roll music does has hurt the economy of the United States of America. Oh, it's hurt it very much. Anybody take a guess how? How has it hurt us? I mean, dollars and cents, billions. How? Pastor? Okay, that's one thing. It's not what I was thinking of, but that's a good thing. Joe? Okay, on production. Production is down in rock and roll. These places that play the rock and roll music at their workplace, they ought to, you know what? They do much better without it. Science proves it, not religion. The Bible, you don't have to open a Bible up. Open up a scientific research and they'll show you. Scientifically, and I'll show you the numbers. Production down, comprehension down, decision making down. Why on this earth would Danny Wegman hire anybody that keeps a thing in his ears while he's supposed to be working? Music in his ears. Yeah. My sons and I, we see them in the parking lot pushing carts, you know. They're going carts like this. Kid's dragging his drawers, first of all, looking all shaggy with a coat down to his knees. It's 80 degrees outside. And he's walking with a thing in his ear like this. Oh, man, I want to get out and just kick those carts right out from under that boy and say, get that thing out of your ear and get to work, man. You know what? I would never make it a supervisor at Wegmans because I wouldn't hire those guys. They'd call me, what would they call me, something prejudice or something? Say, you're out of here. You're 18-year-old boy. My sons and I would sit there and just laugh at them. Thinking, can you believe that? My youngest son will say, Dad, why would they hire a guy like that? You know why? Because nobody else. Because the world's lost. There's nobody else. My sons, I tell you, and your sons, they'd get in there. You think these Oliveros boys are going to walk like this? Listen, you know why they can't stand your kids at the workplace? Because they work so hard to make everybody look like dirt. That's why. That's why they couldn't stand me. Remember I gave you the mopping the floor illustration? Man, I'm mopping floor. They couldn't stand me. because I'm mopping 50 miles and they're mopping 5. And so they hated me because I make them look better. Folk can do that. What can you do that? You know what? Production down. Rock and roll music blaring. If I had a business, wouldn't be so. Now, and I'll show you the proof of it, scientific proof. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Job says, not one. Not you? Not me. Not one. Isaiah 52:11 says this, depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Is rock and roll music unclean or not? God says, don't touch it. Don't even touch it. Why? Because you will be in some portion unclean. People get saved. People come to the conference. Don't touch it. Touching it will make you unclean. Yeah, but there's a lot of people getting right, and our church is full of people. You just keep coming and coming. We have the concert downtown, and 500 people were saved. Don't touch it, because you're going to be unclean. That's what the Bible says. Now, finally, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Now, I brought this thing here. It's called denatured alcohol. Thin shellac, cleans glass and metal. Clean burning fuel for marine stoves. Danger. Poison. Flammable. May be fatal if swallowed. That's pretty strong teaching right there. You know what that'll make you do? That'll make you put it on the top shelf. This will make you not keep the thing in your kid's bedroom. This will make you clean up after your paint job. May be fatal if swallowed. You know what this is? This is poison. It's poison. That's what rock and roll is. It's poison. It's pollution. It's vile. It's wicked. It ruin your mind. Now, if I took this, this is what I'm telling you, CCM is contemporary Christian music. I wish I had a nice looking vase or something like that, or a nice colorful pink bottle. I'd pour this right in that bottle. And I'll say, now take it. Now drink it. You know what it is? Still poison. Still poison. Say, one drop, still poison. Still poison. Package it any way. You take this stuff any way you like it. Package it any, the most beautiful package you, put $1 million package on it. You know what it is? It's poison. And it'll kill you. You know what? You think you could drink it and not be touched? That's what we do with CCM. We drink it, think we're not touched. You know what's touched? Generations to come are touched. We can't see it today. All we see today is the hands raised up, people coming in, people getting saved. But we don't see the people filing out one by one on the bridge. Millions of them. And then their kids. I say to you, if you go home with any tonight, poison is poison. Now that's deep. Poison is poison. Package any way you want to package it. It's going to kill you. You cannot take it without being hurt, without being affected. Now, we're not going to spend any more time on contemporary Christian. It's a no-brainer. It has no place in God's place. It has no place in God's place. Now, can someone make contemporary music that's holy and wonderful and good? Sure, we'll listen to some. I've got some music written in the year 2000. Beautiful. In fact, Brother Ron Martin gave it to me. Why don't you bring that next week, that CD? Did I get that back to you? I think I did. Okay. Listen to this. Next week, or 2 weeks. I won't be here next week. 2 weeks from today. I won't be here next week. Remember I told you. 2 weeks, we'll listen to music written. It'll glorify God Almighty. To me, as much as Fanny Crosby, Charles Wesley, and Isaac Watts, and P.P. Bliss. Really, beautiful music. That'll last that music. So, poison is poison. Finally, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Everybody's eyes fixed on God's Word. Wherefore? Oh, it's the Old Testament. Wherefore? Paul says to the Corinthians, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now the question is putting God's words to rock and roll music touching it? Never mind, Mike. Is it touching it? Is putting God's word to rock and roll music touching it? That's the question you ask in your head, young people. touch not the unclean thing. You know what happened? I will receive you. I will receive you. Saying, is he saying, touch it and I won't receive you? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about being received by God. In your prayer, received by God in your worship. Listen, my wife and I went, we traveled to Florida and they're having this laughing thing at this church. And they thought we came down there because we gave the guy a track. Oh, you're here for the Browns Revival. I said, the what? He said, you haven't heard about the Browns Revival? He told me all about the Browns Revival. Laughing. Carrying on like crazy people. Well, you know what? It doesn't take much to work up a crowd. It really doesn't. You know what we try to do? Work down the crowd. And let God work up the crowd. And that's really how old Pastor Ben built. Huh, Pastor Camilleri? We don't work up the crowd. Bring a friend day. Picnic day. Hot dog day. Donut day. Coffee day. No. You know what? We just want to come and worship God. If you want to come, come. If you don't, that's your business. We will be at your door on Monday, though, giving you the gospel. We'll be on the street corner like we were this week on Batavia. It was so much fun. And one second, Mike. And I just have to say this. We're on the Batavia. No people around. Snowing, beautifully snowing. Cars going by preaching the gospel with a sandwich sign on my thing. Saying Jesus Christ is Lord. The only one who probably heard us is the Lord. We gave out a few tracts, but it was a glorious time. So you know what? We'll be out there Monday, but on Sunday, this is what we're going to do. We'll not touch the unclean thing. And when you're preparing specials here, you remember that. Oh. But you make a great point. And let me just tell you, for those who don't know, I worked in the industry for 23 years, Eastman Kodak Company, with the vilest, wickedest, from the junkyard dogs to the engineering. He was a junkyard dog, and God led him to Christ. But you know what, Mike? You don't have to participate. That's our lesson here. And the question in this room here, to answer Mike's question, why do we not have contemporary Christian music here? Because it's unclean. That's the lesson. So listen, young folks, in case I misunderstood, I'm not saying separate ourselves from the unclean. We have to leave the earth, God says. We live... hold up, guys. I got it handled. We're going to pray here in a moment. And I appreciate that very much. But I do appreciate that. And listen, we live amongst them, not part of them. Everybody got that clear? We live amongst them, not part of them. One more time. We live amongst them, not part of them. And we are to say, Brother Mike, there is a clean and there is an unclean. Old or new. It matters. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ways of salvation now and then, doctrinal things, yes. But the way God is, does not change. And he hates it. And will not bring it in here. Bob, I think we're just going to pray. Is that all right with you, buddy? It's 8:30. I don't want to go past my time lest people get discouraged. Okay, let's bow our heads. And Bob, save that question for later. Amen. Yeah, next week, Bob, I won't be here. Amen. What a blessing, amen. Father, we're grateful for Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that 18:12 overture, Lord. That is powerful. Lord, I'm thankful for your music, Lord. And I am very thankful that you make it very clear to us, Joe and myself, what we're to do. To make a difference and to teach our people clean and unclean. Lord, not to separate from them. They need to be saved, just like I was saved. And just like Brother Joe, Lord. So, Lord, we'll thank you for helping us to be in balance, Lord. And, Lord, I kind of miss working out at Kodak. I miss the battle there, Lord. I miss the lost souls, Lord, to witness to Him. Lord, to be a light and salt to, Lord. I think it was probably easier then, Lord, dealing with people. But I'm thankful where you have us now, Lord God. I ask you to bless this evening. Thank you for this teaching from your word. Lord, help us tonight to go away with this. There is a difference between clean and unclean. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. All right.